Hey, everybody. This is former WWF and WWE diva Terry Runnels, and you are listening to the Gerwick Report podcast with Steve Gerwick and Frank D. I don't miss it. Neither should you.
It is Tuesday, February the 10th. I am Steve Gerwick of Gerwick.net. That's www.gerwick.net, your source on the World Wide Web for all your pro wrestling news since 1997. Another edition of the Gerwick Report podcast. Today, I have a very special guest with me. She is a former WWF Hardcore Champion and a former WWF Diva. Today, I present the very sultry Terry Runnels. How are you doing today, Terry?
I am great. How are you, Steve?
Doing great. Terry, you just, over the weekend, you were in Milwaukee. I know you're working with David Hero, which is a friend of ours here on the show. Talk about that show and meeting up once again with the likes of Kevin Nash and Matt Hardy.
Well, first of all, let me just tell you, like, right now, I'm sitting here outside, blue skies, gorgeous day in Florida, and it's completely the opposite of what I left yesterday, which was, believe it or not, even more enjoyable to me with the cool, crisp air of Milwaukee. I had an incredible time up there. Love the fans up there. And I love to see my good friends. Kevin and I have been friends for umpteen thousand years. In fact, we were talking yesterday, and he said, "Do you realize that you were the very first person I met in wrestling?" And I'm like, "What?" He goes, "No, Tara, like, really, you were the first person I ever met. Other than signing my contract and doing that, you did my makeup. You were the first person I met." So
wow.
We go back as to the beginning of his career. So, yeah.
Now, I know you make personal appearances. You do meet and greet. What is kind of the most common question you receive from the fans?
Well, some are funny, like, you know, were you really married to Goldust? And, you know, stuff like that. But I think the main question that drives me crazy, because I feel like I've said it so many times over and over again, is, how did you get started in wrestling? That one,
right.
I want to say, go back and find another interview and listen to it, because I don't want to say it anymore. I don't know. Like, I love meeting the fans. So usually their questions in person are more fun than the questions they hit me with on the computer.
I'm assuming they probably ask too, is, when are you going to go back to WWE, or when are you going to go back into wrestling?
That and the silly, yeah, you know, the silly comments about me helping them through their puberty and all that.
Oh,
you know, and yeah. While I'm appreciative of compliments, I could do without some of those comments.
Well, I guess while we're on that particular topic, one of the questions I've been asked is, did you ever do anything in wrestling? Have you ever been asked to do anything in wrestling that you weren't comfortable with? Because I'm thinking today, you know, today's wrestling is really geared towards 13-year-old kids. And back in 97, 98, during the heyday of the Monday Night Wars, obviously it was an older crowd. But yet, certainly there were kids that watched wrestling back in the day. Was there anything you were asked to do, didn't see eye to eye with, and didn't really want to do?
Well, understand that it was, a lot of it was really difficult for me to do in terms of, you know, I'm a character on Monday night, and then I fly home on Wednesday, and I go to my child's private school, and, you know, I'm there to pick up my child, and the other mothers say, "Oh, we saw you Monday night." And, you know, Monday night I was in a thong and, you know, doing something wild, crazy, and silly. And so I remember, you know, before the moms got to know me, they had a much different opinion of me. And then once they realized, okay, she's, you know, she bakes cupcakes and she's very into her child and she's a good mom, you know, then their opinion of me changed. But, you know, yeah, things were a lot different back then. You know, the thing I did on Shotgun Saturday Night where, you know, from the camera's angle, I flashed Rikishi, who was not Rikishi back at that point. But, you know, I had pasties on, so I was, you know, I was not seen naked, but of course that's what you were supposed to think, is that I was, you know, topless and showing my bosoms to him. But yeah, it's funny, when I came backstage after that, Vince gave me the biggest hug and said, thank you so much for doing that. That was incredible. So, you know, I think the thing that I was honestly the most uncomfortable with was an angle where, and it was a Russo angle, where I was to do the whole miscarriage thing. And, you know, with Val Venus and D'Lo Brown and all that stuff. And Dakota was young at the time, and I thought, you know, I just don't want her hearing at school, oh, your mom, you know, was going to have a baby and she lost it. And I just didn't, I don't know, I thought that was tacky. And there was a lot of stuff there that was, I was just telling someone this past weekend, a lot of the things that we did in the Attitude Era were incredible because they were double entendre, so that it went completely over a child's head, but was not lost on the adults. It was, you know, much appreciated on the adults' end of it. So I really wish that they would do more of that kind of thing, so you kind of keep it more titillating for the adults and yet tame enough for the kids. But you know, when you have shareholders and you're a public company, it's a cat of a different color.
You were showing a lot of skin, scantily clad women at that time. Just in general, how hard is it to stay in that great of shape? I mean, we saw a lot of you. We saw a lot of the divas back in the day. Talk about training, just how hard it is to eat and stay in shape when you're, you know, you're asked to go out there in a bikini or do a thong or whatever it is to look so good on television week after week.
Well, thank you for saying that I looked good, first of all. That was always something that was, you know, it was this pervasive thought. You have to, you know, if I eat an Oreo, am I going to have, you know, a circle show up on my butt or on my abs? My thing was always I wanted to be as tiny as possible. Like I, you know, a lot of the girls want to train and become bigger and more muscular and my whole thing was I wanted to be as lean and tiny as possible. I thought it looked better when the guys, you know, picked me up by my neck and, you know, when I was thrown or when China shook me like a rag doll. I liked being little. So my thing was always to just stay lean. I have a gym at my home, a tanning bed at my home, so... And I really have never enjoyed training in public. So my thing was always, you know, when I got home, I was mom first and foremost. And a lot of times I would end up, you know, I would be on the Stairmaster at 2 o'clock in the morning or, you know, working out at 3 o'clock in the morning or whatever. So I do remember that when I left in 2004, I decided I'm going to take a complete sabbatical. I will not lift a weight. I will not run. I will not do anything regarding, you know, working out for 1 year. So I gave myself permission for 1 year to do nothing. And then the sad part is 1 year turned to two to three to four, and jump ahead. And then it went to like 9 years, and I had not trained or done anything. I ended up gaining... On my 5 foot frame, I think the heaviest I got was 127 pounds, and I've got a picture from an appearance I did up in New York that I just looked like a bloated, to me, I looked like a beach whale. But so after that, I decided, okay, enough is enough. And I just, you know, I cut out, I used to love my wine. I cut out all that, and I really got serious about it. And what's crazy is I went from 127, and I got all the way down to 91 pounds, which it was like, you know, once the ball got rolling, it ended up rolling too far. And so I remember Dakota saying to me, "Mom, you look like a bobblehead." And my sister said, "Tare, you look like you have worms. you don't look good." And I really didn't. I looked horrible. So then I started trying to put the weight back on, and it's crazy, but it for a while it was like nothing would stick. Like no matter what I ate, I couldn't gain the weight back, which then I started worrying, like, you know, gosh, is something really wrong with me? But now I'm at my comfortable weight of anywhere between 98 pounds and 105 pounds. I'm comfortable. So I'm at a healthy weight now.
I can relate to that. But let's take 6 months off. Let's take a year off. Let's take 18 months off, and then just goes and goes. The domino effect.
Yeah.
maybe next month. Huh?
Yeah, it gets a little too easy to be lazy, I tell you.
Now, you were just mentioning Rikishi, you know, when you're talking about the shotgun Saturday night angle. I believe he was probably, the Sultan at that time.
He was the Sultan, yes.
Right. And last night they announced that Rikishi is going to go in the WWE Hall of Fame, to be technical.
Right.
Thoughts on Rikishi being announced for the Hall of Fame?
Well, to me, he's Junior. He always has been. You know, I've known Junior since, 1980, maybe as far as 88, somewhere back in there. But he's one of those people that it's funny. Back in the day when you're traveling with people, when someone would be let go and you didn't really realize it, and then all of a sudden you'd be like, "Oh, wow, you know, so-and-so's not here anymore." But it was crazy how it would take you time before you even realized someone was gone. Junior is one of those people that I always missed if he was gone. I've loved from the beginning. He's always been one of my favorites, and I'm really happy to see him inducted. You know, I think we were talking about this also this past weekend. I did a radio show on Sunday morning, and they were asking me about the Hall of Fame, and I said, you know, it makes me sad to know that there are so many wrestlers that are older that really, really deserve to be inducted, and it's like they get passed over. And I understand it is about ratings, and there has to be, you know, interest in that person, but it breaks my heart sometimes for some of the younger guys to be inducted, and there are some older, much more worthy people, you know, that should be, and they get passed over. So I like it when, you know, some of the older people get inducted. I'm not saying Junior's older. I'm just saying he certainly is worthy, and I'm thrilled that he's going in.
Now, you mentioned Dakota a couple of times. I got to ask about her. How old is she today? Because she kind of grew up in front of our eyes and with WWF television back in the day. And does she have any interest at all in the wrestling? Obviously, you were in wrestling. Her dad's in wrestling. Her uncle's in wrestling. Her grandfather's in wrestling. Does she have any interest maybe someday following in their footsteps?
My child, I should say our child, will be – she is 20 as we speak, but – on Valentine's Day, she will turn 21. And
oh, wow.
It's funny because she just said to me the other day, she's like, "Mom, you know, this is really depressing." I said, What's that? She goes, "Well, I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't do drugs." She said, "The thing that everyone looks forward to on their 21st birthday, I really could care less about." So she's like, "I'm not looking forward to it like most do." And I'm like, "Okay, we've got to find some things that you couldn't do before that you can do now." She's like, "Okay, I can rent a car now. I can gamble. I can go to a casino now. So we're trying to come up with something fun that we can do for her 21st. I know her boyfriend is flying in, and so I'm sure we'll conjure up some fun. But yeah, she'll be 21 soon. She is so surrounded by wrestling. It's so in her blood, not only by the people you just mentioned, but also, you know, two uncles by marriage. Tugboat, who used to be married to Dusty's sister-in-law, and then Jerry Saganowicz, Knobs and Sags. So she is literally, it's all around her, but she doesn't have any interest in it. Her major is in communications and film production, documentaries. In fact, she's working on one right now for one of her classes. So, you know, she loves it. She used to travel with me every single week. She was on a plane with me going somewhere. And she grew up having a lot of uncles, and I'm doing air quotes right now, uncles in the business, because, you know, all the boys were like her, either big brother or uncles on the road. So she loves it, but not to do it, I guess, is the best way to say it.
Over the years, has she been encouraged or discouraged to get into the profession?
About okay. it all the time, but yeah, she's never expressed an interest. And, you know, if anything, Dakota is a very cerebral, very very smart child, and I think if anything, she might want to do something regarding production and be more on the brainiac end of it.
Well, I tell you, Terry, you must have done something right. If she's never done drugs, she's not into drinking, not all those taboos. I'd say you've done pretty well raising her as a mom.
Well, I thank you. That is, if you ask me, the best thing I've ever done in my life is being her mom. And I think she's also learned from the mistakes of her parents, which is great. You know, she's seen some things that she's realized, ooh, I don't want to do that and look like that. And she has a low tolerance for drunken fools, shall we say. So yeah, I'm so proud of her. She's incredible. She her sense of humor is very dry, and she is witty and can quip with the best of them. So she's awesome.
I just wondered, with your schedule, do you get a chance to watch WWE Today, Raw, SmackDown? Do you keep up with wrestling at all?
I'm ashamed to tell you, I don't watch it as much as I probably should. You know, if Dakota tells me, you know, Dad's doing this, or, you know, if there's something that she mentions, or, you know, that Dust is going to do that I want to watch, I watch. Occasionally, you know, I'll be scrolling and see it and stop. But no, I don't watch the product like I probably should.
I think you mentioned before, you know, today is obviously a PG era. We're more cartoonish. Vince has the sponsorship that he wants, and obviously we don't have the viewership. I mean, we're talking about, you know, Monday nights, 6.0 ratings, 5.0 ratings. Now it's a 3.0 ratings, considered a good rating. Do you think the PG, the format change has really hurt the product over the years and take away from the viewership? I mean, obviously we have a lot less fans today watch wrestling than they did, say, in 1999.
Right. Yeah. You know, and I do think that a lot of the racy stuff is missed. You know, no blood, no, you know, there's a lot of things that can't happen that used to evoke emotion and make people want to tune in. And, you know, it is a more canned product, so to speak. I can do without, and I never, like, I thought we went past the point of being racy when we did like the whole Godfather hot lesbian action, the HLA, when Kane, the whole necrophilia thing with Kane and
Katie Vick. You know, yep.
Yeah. I really thought that was totally unnecessary. Like the kind of thing where a lot of the things that Dustin said and did, you know, were double entendres where, you know, he would say something like, you know, I'm going to, you know, come in your back door. And, you know, a kid doesn't understand what that means, but every adult understands what, you know, that connotation was. And I wish they would go back to a little bit of that, that they could get away with, but not so much the visual where, like, I remember Dakota saying to me, "Mom, why are those two girls kissing?" And, you know, it's like, how do you, you know, that stuff that you have to explain, you can't get that over a kid's head. So I wish they'd be a little bit more creative and like even the costuming. You know, that's one thing I loved about what I brought, because when I came up with the Marlena gimmick, everything about my idea was to be so different, you know, to wear these long old Hollywood gowns to the ring and, you know, with my cigar, which I'm enjoying as we speak. You know, it was to really be a character and be different. And now it's like all of the, like the girls, for instance, I think they are beautiful. I think they, you know, they look great, but it's like everyone's costuming is kind of like, it looks good, but I don't know. It's like there are not enough characters. Like the who is it? Bray
Wyatt and Bo Dallas.
Yeah, and Bo Dallas. And so, like, I love that, you know, you've got some people that look different, and I love our seamstresses, and they do a great job, but sometimes I think we rely too much on them to create the outfits so that it ends up looking a lot alike. I don't know.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Now, I know you were talking about you don't really watch wrestling other than maybe what you know, Dakota tells you about, but it looks like right now that Stardust and Goldust are probably on a collision course to, you know, possibly have the match that we've been talking about for a long time. People wanted, you know, Goldust versus Cody Rhodes back in the day. Maybe we'll finally get it. I just thought with the new gimmick of Stardust, wouldn't it be interesting if Marlena came back and would actually side with Stardust in his feud against Goldust?
You know, there's a lot of things that would be interesting if Marlena jumped in the picture. That's been talked about a lot, and I don't know if that's going to happen. I really, you know, it's funny. I'm not a fan of Cody's character at all. I mean, I think that what Dustin did in creating Goldust was incredible, and I will always be proud of him for the way he took that character and ran with it and made it incredible. And I don't know. I've not been able to sink my teeth into the whole Stardust thing. I love Cody. I think he's a great wrestler. But speaking of that, you just never know what you're going to see when you tune in. So I'll leave it at that.
I guess, would you be open to maybe going back on the road with WWE? How is your relationship currently with the company?
Great. I went over and did a few hours of recording some stuff for them not too long ago. And, you know, I mean, there'll always be family. You know, even though things have changed so much and there's a completely different feel about everything, that will always be family to me. So there's love there, because I was just watching, like, I haven't talked to Lisa Moretti Ivory in ages, and, like, I would love to get in touch with her. I don't have her number. I haven't talked to her in ages. I miss her. But I stumbled upon a shoot interview that she had done, and she was talking about how what a pain it was that everyone had to dress up. You know, the edict with WWE was you had to be in dress clothes when you were out in public representing the company. And I laughed because I never, like, that's the way I went to TVs. That's the way from the time I left my hometown to go to TVs, to any time I was on an airplane, any time I was anywhere, You never saw me in sweats. You never saw me scrubby. I was always dressed. And, you know, it was funny when people started complaining about, God, we have to dress up just to fly. I'm thinking, well, hell, that's the way I've done it the entire time. And that is my thought. You know, when you're out there, you are an extension of the brand. And I didn't want to look half-assed when I was traveling from place to place. So I think it's kind of funny that some people complain about it, but that was the way I lived my life on the road. So
what you were talking about doing interviews, going back to WWE, did some interviews. Was that for the WWE Network, some other future projects or DVDs or?
Yeah.
Can you comment on that?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have the WWE Network and do you watch it?
Oh, don't ask me that, because then I have to be honest and tell you I don't.
Oh, okay.
I should. Okay, here's what I'll say. I don't have it, but I'm getting it really soon, Steve. Really soon, you know, I'm going to get it.
For somebody like you, I mean, like deja vu, I mean, everything that you've pretty much done is probably on there now.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I think it's really cool when fans will say, oh, I just watched this match or this pay-per-view, and man, I really missed that, or that was really cool, or whatever. I mean, I think it's great for the fans. I really do. And I think the price of what you're getting, I think it's a wonderful price. What is it, like $9.99 or something?
Yep.
And,
yep,
and with that, don't you get the pay-per-views, and is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Yeah,
pay-per-views,
I mean,
are included, yep.
You would almost be a fool if you're a fan, if you've ever been a fan. And that goes back to WCW. I mean, if you're a fan of wrestling at all, you'd almost be a fool not to, you know, have that. So I think it's a great idea, and I hope it succeeds and does well.
Over the years, have you ever been contacted about doing Playboy? Because obviously Playboy did what Tori Wilson and China back in the day. I just wondered if they ever contacted you for a possible shoot.
Way back when, yes, and the answer was no because of my child.
Okay.
I just said, you know, I thought, how can I say to my child, you know, Dakota, be a lady, and, you know, this is how a lady should act in public and whatever. I mean, yeah, there were a lot of things that were sexual that I did with my character on TV, but pretty much Playboy, you're not in character. You are, you know, I would have been just Terry Runnels. And for me to sit there with my legs spread wide open and for my child to have to, you know, go, hey, Mom, so what was that you were telling me about being a lady? And so here you sit with, I can see everything and then some. Yeah, that was just not for me.
Okay, fair enough. Vince Russo, maybe probably one of the most polarizing characters in professional wrestling. People love a lot of the things that he wrote. Some people are very negative on Vince Russo. What's your overall opinion of him?
I'll tell you this. I was one of the ones, Dustin and I were some of the people that knew that Vince was writing and booking a lot of the angles long before it was truly known that he was one of the writers. He was so great to Goldust and I. Then at a certain point when he actually came out as a writer and when he came out as when he was the main guy, he kind of took, you know, he was the one, like I said, that came up with the whole miscarriage idea and some stuff. And, you know, some of the stuff I just didn't like, and he pissed me off, and, you know, I was not happy with some stuff. But I'll always love Vince for the things he did do, and I call him Big Jooch. He'll always be my Big Jooch. So, you know, I think when he went down to WCW, I think he got a little full of himself and needed to be brought back to life, and I think he did. He humbled himself, and I like that Vince. I like the Vince that, you know, was in the beginning of my Marlena career, the Vince that was not necessarily ego-driven. That's the Vince that I love.
you've been pretty much away from wrestling on a regular basis since like 2004, when you said you went home and you gave yourself a year off, and then, you know, year after year kind of went by. I just wonder, over the years, have you ever been contacted by like TNA to maybe work for, you know, another wrestling group?
Never to work for any other wrestling group, and I've said no to any time I've been asked to wrestle. It's just I'll never do it again. I'll you know, some of these things I'll manage. I don't mind taking bumps. You know, I meant that I was going to get color. I pretty much the Brian Pillman angle, and I know this is off of the topic, the question you just asked me, but it just made me think of something. When we were going to do the whole Pillman angle, I wanted to get color when we did that, like when Dustin and I were going to renew our vows, and actually my image was, and the way we were going to do it, I was going to be in my gold wedding dress, you know, and we were going to get to the part where it said, you know, is there anyone here who sees any reason for these two not to be joined? And, you know, Pillman was going to come out, and he and Dustin were going to go at it. And then instead of me continuing on and being with Dustin, I was going to throw my body on top of Brian, who would have gotten color at that point. And there would have been blood all over my wedding dress, and I was going to go with Brian, and that's how we were going to do that angle. And, of course, the sad news came that Brian passed away, and so we switched, and we did the angle with Luna, which I had just done. In fact, it was the first time I'd ever met her, doing a little side third-party thing for AFA up in Pennsylvania. And I came back, and I said, Vince, this would be so awesome if we turned it around and if Dustin went with Luna. And so that's how we did that angle. But, you know, that's one thing that I did that I love that I did. I love that, you know, it was for a match. I don't even remember where we were, but I was working with Danny DeManto, the cold-hearted player, Danny DeManto. And so, yeah, he gigged me, and I had a blast doing it, because I'm like, how many women get color in the business? And, you know, there are just things you can't do anymore, so that was fun for me. And but I'll never wrestle again. So just, yeah. It was just like Vince threw it at me one day. Like, I mean, I've been taking bumps for, you know, a while from the boys, which I loved. It's great. I loved that. But then he has this happy idea that I'm going to wrestle. And, I mean, I begged him, please, please, please. I don't want to. I'm not good at it. And his answer was always, you're going to be great. No, Terry, you're going to be great. It's going to be great. It's going to be fine. And I kid you not, like, every time the man wanted me to wrestle, I went and said the same thing. I remember one time saying to him, Vince, when people love something, when they're really passionate about something, they do a much better job at it. And I'm really passionate about managing, and I'm really not passionate about actually wrestling another female. I don't want to. Oh, you'll be great. So, yeah. I mean, I did the best I could. God bless every female that ever had to work with me that was, in fact, a trained wrestler. You know, I would go out there, and for that day, I would learn, you know, 3, 4, 5 moves and pull it off somehow that evening. And, you know, and then the next time he would want me to wrestle, it would be, okay, well, here, learn another move to add to those 3 that you just learned. And, but, yeah. And, in fact, it's interesting because, like, I have real issues with my lower back now. And, you know, I have to get injections in my facet joints. And it's just, it's constant pain. And I think the reason that my injuries have carried over this far in my life, and that they are chronic, is because when you're not doing this stuff day in and day out on a regular basis, your body does not handle the bumps the same way. It's just like, you know, the boys will tell you when they've been off for an injury or, you know, and they've got ring rust, it's so much easier to get injured. And I think that's why I wrestled so few matches compared to most people, but yet I've got, you know, a worse injury to my lower back than I probably would have had I wrestled all the time. So I will always give praise and kudos to my sisters and my brethren who trained and want to be wrestlers.
You know, you were talking there that your passion was managing. And,
yeah.
You know, obviously I grew up watching wrestling when there were great wrestling managers. There was Bobby the Brain Heenan and Jimmy Hart, Jim Cornette, et cetera, et cetera. And then
Paul
Bearer. Yeah, definitely. And then we went more towards valets kind of in that attitude era. And now today you really don't see a manager. In fact, if you have a manager today, they don't even call him managers. Like, he's an advisor or he's an agent. You know, it's like, managing is like taboo anymore. You know, what happened to managers? And do you ever see managers coming back and playing a more prominent role in wrestling?
I predict that, you know, everything that's old is new again. I predict you will see the resurgence. And, you know, what happens is after a while you go back and you look and you go, what worked back then? What was it about the 80s that worked? What was it about the 90s that worked? What was it about? And you go back and, you know, you almost have to go back and find components of things that worked and infuse them into storylines again. So I predict, and there are always fun ways to use managers, always, always, always. So I predict you will see more of that. And, you know, it beefs up the wrestler's character even more. To, you know, it's also great. I was used a lot when, you know, some of the guys I was with didn't necessarily talk that well and they weren't that well versed on the mic. It was easy to put me with them because I had no problems on the mic. So, yeah, you know, I think you'll see more of that happen again.
Yeah, you think about 80s and 90s wrestling, I'm thinking, where's the tag teams? You know, now we split up tag teams so quickly. If you're together a year,
mm-hmm.
that's like a long tag team anymore. I mean, back in the day, there was Midnight Express, Rock and Roll Express, the Road Warriors. I mean, they kept these teams together for years. Now we just split everybody up.
Yeah, and I really miss, like, you used to, back in the good old days, you know, if you were starting an angle with this guy, you knew you were going to be working that guy for at least 3, 6, 9 months even. And you had time to really play that angle out. And, I mean, it was so fun, so much fun. Now it is so fast-paced and, you know, almost with every pay-per-view comes a new angle and then another new angle. And then, you know, it's so quick now. I wish we would tell the story longer and you know, go into more detail and drag it out like it used to be. That would be, you know, it was fun. It was a lot more fun back then.
And even factions. I mean, you were part of the York Foundation. We don't have anything with factions anymore. I mean, if they're together again for 6 months, they're together
right.
for a long time. And I'm thinking that, you know, I have this argument with a lot of people with wrestling. It's like, we don't have managers. We don't have factions. We don't have tag teams. Everything is so rushed. As you said, 3, 6 months builds for feuds anymore. They're out the window. It's 1 month. Next week on Raw, we're doing this. We're going in this direction. Maybe this pay-per-view is going to be different. And it's just like, it's nothing like it used to be. And it's like you said, those components, all those components are missing. When are they going to realize they're missing, you know?
And used to in wrestling, you would be able to, if you missed, you know, several weeks, if you didn't tune in, you could tune in and you weren't that long, like not that much had happened, so you could pick right back up where you left off. Now, if you miss a month, you don't know what the hell's happened. I mean, it's just, it's
true.
Which is another reason I don't enjoy watching as much, because you're like, wait a second, how, what, where did he go? What happened to her? What, huh? So it's just, yeah. And sometimes, Steve, it's really interesting. You know how everybody wants to say, yeah, those were the good old days. And I wonder sometimes, I hear a lot of people say to me, Terry, the attitude era, we miss it. And I wonder, am I biased? Am I, like, is that really an era that a lot of people miss? Or is it just me that I remember that era as being such a great era? And you know what I'm saying? It's like with your
right.
kid. You know, you love your kid, but not everybody else loves your kid. I'm wondering if I am biased about the Attitude Era, or if it's truly an era that people really, really do miss.
Well, I think they really miss it. I mean, I just did an interview with Triple H. He's talking that today's wrestling is the reality era. And I'm
mm-hmm.
thinking, well, I can watch reality television and be a lot more risque, a lot more entertaining. To me, it's just so watered down. They don't have much time for character development. And I'm thinking, too, is, you know, back in the day, the wrestlers would go from territory to territory to territory. Now, we sign somebody, a 20-year-old kid, we send them down to Florida, you know, down to your state there to go to the
mm-hmm.
Performance Center. 9 months later, we expect you on television to have a character. And if you don't get over, well, then you're out the door.
Yeah.
And it's like a totally different business altogether.
And you know, back in the good old days, you got smartened up the hard way. I mean, you came in and you better have your mouth shut and your ears open, and you didn't get smartened up, and it took you a while to learn the ins and outs and what to do and what not to do, and you know, the art of kayfabe. And you know, these guys now have no idea about that. It's not, you know, we were a traveling band of, you know, characters that were family, and now it's just not the same. And I realize change is important, and growth and evolution and all that, that's great and grand. But I think that, you know, It's sad. It's sad that they can't experience what we experienced. Kevin and I were talking about that too yesterday at the airport. You know, you really did get to hang out and travel with your friends, and you know, it's a business, but more in a more antiseptic way now.
I totally agree with you. What is your all-time favorite WWE moment or highlight, looking back on your WWF run?
Well, I'll tell you something that I was thinking about. I saw a question, I think, that someone posed today. You put something out saying, you know, if there's anything you want to ask Terry. I think it was on your thread that someone asked about how did it feel to be the only singles match at the at Mania in 2000, which was
right.
What, WrestleMania 16, I think, maybe. And to be honest with you, I didn't even remember that was the only singles. But what pisses me off with myself and disappoints me in myself is because I hated working with another female so much, like I've expressed. It's not that I disliked Stacy at all, but to me that was just like a cat fight. Like, really, Vince? And so instead of me appreciating the fact that I was one of the advertised matches of that Mania, instead of me actually being able to respect and revel in that fact, I remember just mentally bitching and thinking, this just sucks that I've got to be in a cat fight on WrestleMania. And I think I went to Russo and said, are you kidding me? Like, can I not do something better than a cat fight at Mania? And so, you know, when the reality is, that was a big deal. I should have been very thankful to be in that cat fight and build the way I was. One of my favorite memories will always be of Anaheim, that WrestleMania with Dustin and Piper. That was an awesome experience. And I think working with Joni, with China when she made her debut, you know, coming in with me, that was fun. The next morning after she shook the hell out of me was not fun because I could not move anything without it hurting. But that was a fun time for me. And then kind of when I got to be, you know, the bitchy little she-devil and I was on my own, and when I say on my own, you know, I divorced Dustin, he wasn't there, you know, I was managing Perry. I really enjoyed working with Perry. Perry was always great. I could always trust Perry and knew he would take care of me. And ironically enough, and this is aside from what you just asked me, but Perry gave me one of the best compliments. After not talking to him for years, I think he kind of went off the grid for a while. He and I, a few years back, you know, got to see each other. We were at an appearance together. And he gave me the greatest compliment. He said, Terry, I never, ever believed that a female could be a friend. He said, I just never did. To me, women were to have in bed or to have nothing to do with. And he said, you proved to me that I could have a beautiful female friend, nothing more than a friend. He said, you truly were my friend. And, like, I believe that men and women can be friends, you know, without there being anything sexual. And Boss Man and I, God knows, he was my friend. He was more than my friend. He was my girlfriend, my best friend, my traveling partner, my dad. He was my everything. But yeah, that was really cool. I loved working with Perry, and that friendship that we had was really great.
Whatever happened to Shane McMahon? I mean, I've asked this question to so many times, to so many different people. What happened to him? Why did he just disappear from wrestling? I thought he was so talented. He could take bumps in the ring. He had great facial expressions, and I thought this guy was like the future of wrestling, and then just all of a sudden, he was gone.
It's called a family issue, and I just recently talked to Shane. Shane's very successful in his own right now. He's created a company. He does a lot of work. He's doing a lot with China, and not China the wrestler, but China
the country.
And, yep. You know, he's doing his own thing and proud of it, and I'm really proud of him. You know, he didn't get his fair shake, and you know, I think Shane has a lot of class, and I love his wife and him, and you know, kudos to him for doing it his own way.
Now, I know you've not been in the company for years, but what do you think of the transition from Vince, you know, eventually giving up the family business to letting Stephanie and Triple H run it? How do you think that transition will go, and you think much will change in the future with those two running the company?
I will tell you this. I really love Paul. I've said this often from the moment I met him. First time I ever met him, he was a young kid that was just breaking in the business, and we were at a party at Paige Falkenberg's, Paige and Kimberly, Diamond Dallas Paige's house. It was a Christmas party. I think it was a Christmas party. And I remember upon meeting him that night, I knew he was such a student of the business. He was such a sponge. He was soaking up everything he could possibly soak up. And he's always been that way. And I think that Paul is very wise in a lot of the things that he does. Stephanie, I don't you know, I just was never that close to her, and I was not around her that much. You know, I was around Paul more and talked to Paul more than I did Stephanie. But, you know, I mean, I've always had a respect for Paul and always will, because, you know, he didn't marry into something, and he wasn't given something that he certainly hasn't busted his ass for. And so I'll always respect him for that.
Were you ever ribbed by Owen Hart?
Owen never pulled any of his masterful things on me. I was at one of his hilarious ribbings when we were at Harley Race's house. Dustin and Harley were very tight. They shared the same birthday, but because Dusty and Harley went back for many years, Harley kind of always put his arm around Dustin and really, really loved Dustin. And Harley's wife, BJ, and Harley, they would always host us anytime we were there. And so on this night, we were going, and I think we invited Mick Foley and Owen Hart. And so we're there, and Harley always prided himself on his killer chili. He always made this great chili, and he would make vats of it. I mean, this night that we were there, it was this humongous thing of chili. Well, Owen goes to rib Harley, and he basically dumps an entire thing of hot sauce into Harley's chili and ruins it, basically. And Harley was so hot, he came to TV's the next day, and he had one of those zappers, the squeeze of trigger and send volts into someone, but you touched it to them, and I guess it's called a taser. Anyway, Harley was after Owen at TV's with that, and Harley got him down on the ground with it, and you know, Owen was begging off, saying, "I didn't know. I was just going to do a drop. I'm sorry. I swear to you. And I'm most certain that Owen didn't mean to do just a drop. I'm most certain that Owen meant to do the entire thing, but it was quite funny. So that was the closest I got to being ribbed by Owen.
Really miss that guy.
Mm-hmm.
What a talent. Incredible talent. What happened with Chris Benoit? Obviously, you worked with the guy. What was your reaction when you heard about the situation? And honestly, did you ever see a dark side of Chris Benoit to even remotely think that this was even a possibility?
Let me say this. When people used to ask me, like, who's the best wrestler, I used to always say Chris Benoit, because while he is so ridiculously strong, his movements are so ballet and fluid and just seamless. He was just poetry in motion to watch. It was beautiful to watch him wrestle. Chris was one of those, like when Ray, Boss Man, was off the road, and Ray was my traveling partner. When Ray was off the road, Chris was basically the one that was kind of the one that was my protector, that was looking out for me and always there. And if I needed him, you know, I could talk to him, and, you know, he was just always there for me. I was very close with Nancy. I mean, you know, Nancy was there from day one in my career, going way back in WCW. And if you lined up 100 guys in the business at that time and said, somebody's going to do this, from 0 to 100, where does Chris Benoit fall? He would have fallen at the 1 millionth person. In other words, I just would have never fathomed such. I never, ever, ever saw him lose his temper in an inappropriate way with anyone. He was he was one of those people that just kept calm. He was a calm in the storm so often, and I just don't know. You know, a lot of people at the time said roid rage. Well, I'm sorry, I've been around steroids all my adult life. I've never seen a roid rage that resulted in that kind of behavior ever. And to me, I wonder if, you know, there are a lot of people that mental illness has been talked about a lot more recently, with people like Robin Williams, or, you know, there are a lot of people that deal with mental illness and you don't know anything about it until something bad happens. And I've wondered if there wasn't something that was a mental illness that either went undiagnosed or, you know, something, because that's not, you know, a roid rage, you know, you take your fist and you hit a brick wall, you punch a wall, you kick someone's car door and leave a dent in it, you know, get in a fight with a guy. You don't do the heinous things, you know, that were done. And Steve, I'll never understand it. I'll never be able to understand what happened and why it happened. So to this day, I am still as baffled as I was the day I found out.
Yeah, I don't think we're ever going to find out the full story there, unfortunately, mm-hmm. which is sad. But, you know, you were talking earlier about the Hall of Fame. Did you ever think about maybe someday, you know, maybe Vince called you and says, you know, you were one of the most popular divas we had in that Attitude Era when wrestling was booming, and, well, you know, maybe someday Terry or Marlena gets in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean, I think she will be there one day, but you have to remember, you know, it was not Terry the Diva. It was going back to Terry, makeup artist for WCW, Terry Alexandra York with the York Foundation, Marlene. I mean, all of the incarnations that I've been of myself is, you know, the whole of that is what I hope, you know, that one day is remembered and recalled. But like I said earlier, I don't want to be a youngster getting inducted into something when there are people much more deserving and older. And, you know, I just think that Vince really should, you know, think about that. And I know ratings are, you know, the driving force behind it, but I still think that, you know, a lot of the old timers should be taken care of in that regard, as well as, you know, a sprinkling of younger guys that will draw, you know, the fans of today. I just think that we need to respect the older ones as well.
Definitely agree with you. Do you have any regrets? You know, you're talking about going back to WCW days. Anything as you ponder back at your career in the business, anything you wish you could do over again? Any regrets?
It's funny. Dakota and I were talking, and I limited my career because on the day that I signed my contract with Vince, I said to him, I'm a mom first, I'm a wife second, and I'll bust my ass for you, but you come third. And I will not do house shows. I will only do TVs and pay-per-views because I'm not going to be away from my child, you know, that long. I refuse. Because of that, because I refuse to go on the road and do house shows, Vince did not push me as hard as he would have had I done that. And years later, you know, I was talking to Dakota about it, and she's like, Mom, why didn't you? I would have eventually gotten old enough and you could have explained it to me. I mean, I would have gotten over it. And I just, you know, I just said, because you were more important to me. You know, I limited my own career by only giving so much. And I don't regret that. I really don't. That's what I thought of when you said, do you have any regrets? But I really don't regret that because my child is my everything, and trust me, you know, I had to have live-in nannies at a certain point when Dakota got older, and she was not flying with me every week. And the minute I got home, you know, the people I hired to be my nannies, they knew before they ever came to work for me that they had a dual role. They were to be nanny when I was gone for those few days, and the minute I got home, they were to transition into personal assistant, where everything that had to be done for my child, I did. I was mommy. I took care of my child. They would do things like go pick up the dry cleaning, go run errands, go to the grocery store, pay the bills. Like every other thing, they transitioned and they did that for me so that I could be mom. And, you know, I don't regret that. I don't regret maybe I like telling you the story of not appreciating my spot on WrestleMania as much as I should have, instead of bitching about, you know, it being a cat fight. You know, little things like that, maybe. But short of that, no, I don't have any regrets. And, you know, I do want to say, though, that there are things that people remember that maybe I don't. And for anyone that I've ever done or said anything that was offensive or hurtful or whatever, you know, I would only say my apologies. I've tried to live my life being respectful of others and being a lady and being gracious and kind. And so if I keel over and die tomorrow, I hope that, you know, that's remembered of me, and that truly my favorite things about the business were making those fans enjoy those few moments, whether they were hating me or loving me, depending upon my character. And the other thing that I've loved so much is being able to give to children who are either terminal or sick, and just to be able to give back in that way, in that charitable way, that was the biggest blessing of being able to work for wrestling and Vince and Ted Turner.
I'm glad to see, you know, WWE does the Make-A-Wish, and John Cena does so many wishes. I'm glad to see that. I'm glad you do that. And I'd like to see more in wrestling that, I mean, the fans are wrestling. If you don't have fans, you don't have any business. So it's great to see that those in the business give back. And
you're right. You know,
take
and
time
and
out.
Really quickly, if you don't mind, there's a story that makes me smile. There's a guy over in England. His name is Martin Duggan. And Martin was overweight. He needed a kidney transplant, but because he was too overweight, they wouldn't put him on the list. And so I said to him, I said, Martin, if you will, and he didn't have money for a gym or whatever, you know, he said he didn't. I said, it doesn't cost anything to use your two legs and buy a pair of tennis shoes and you go out and you walk. If that's all you can do, you go and you walk and you lose the weight. And if you will lose the weight and be able to be put on the transplant waiting list and get a kidney, I'll come over for your surgery. And he did. And I was so thrilled. So I went over. He was supposed to have the surgery. His sister was going to give him the transplant. It ended up where I think either she had gained too much weight and then all of a sudden her kidney was no longer viable to transplant. Long story short, he ended up not having the surgery. So then he ended up having it by a person passing away, and it was like literally overnight. So it was where I couldn't get to him, you know, for the surgery, because it was happening within a few short hours, you know, that he was called to say, we have a kidney, go to the hospital, we're doing the transplant now. I'm so excited because I'm doing an appearance over in London in June, and I will finally get to meet this sweet man, Martin. And he actually runs my fan page on Facebook. And so I'm like, things like that, to know that I affected him in any positive way, like stuff like that, makes me so happy. So that's really a cool thing that I have coming up, and I'm looking forward to, is that event over in London and meeting Doug, Martin. And if you do, I have a second to plug a few of the things I'm doing coming up.
Absolutely, Terry. And you should also mention your Twitter and your Facebook if anybody out there wants to follow you, because I know with following Terry, you can get all the NFL insight, her picks. She's an analyst of NFL games.
Yes, I do love my football. I do love my Green Bay Packers. Sad that they didn't make it in this year. I won't go into all of my heartbreak there, but I've got a few things coming up. But first and foremost, I want to say that I have one fan page on Facebook, and that is the only one with the little verified check mark. The only other Facebook that I have is my personal one, which is Terry Boatwright Runnels, and any others are all fakes and frauds, which drives me crazy. The only Twitter I have is at the Terry Runnels. My website is www.theterryrunnels.com. Anything you ever send to that, I will always get. Mark is very good at making sure any messages, any emails that come through the website, he always gets to me. So have no fear that I won't see them. I absolutely will. And let's see, the next thing I have coming up, I think, is in March 7th or 8th. It's the big event in New York. And, gosh, I don't even know where that's at. Maybe you can... I'm ashamed I can't give you all the details of that. Okay, that's March. And then April, I'm doing the Super Mega Fest Comic Con, Saturday, April 18th, and Sunday, April 19th in Marlboro, Mass. And that is at the Best Western Royal Plaza Hotel and Trade Center. And that's April. May, I think I'm doing something. March, I think I'm doing something else. June, I'm doing. Go to my website. It'll all be there at theterryrunnels.com. It'll all be there.
I was just gonna say, I'm looking down your page right now at your schedule.
Mark has to update it. Yes, I think he.
Okay.
Basically, my rule is I don't let people advertise me, and I don't put it up until they've signed a contract. So there are some things that are in the works that either the contract has recently been signed, and it just hasn't been posted yet. So just check there, and it should be updated soon.
That's awesome. I definitely plug theterryrunnels.com if you want to stay in contact with Terry. Follow our social media, and definitely if you come into a town near you, definitely recommend you check her out and say hi and interact with her. She's a very personable person, and we really enjoyed having you today. We appreciate your candor in this interview, gracious with your time, and all the charitable work you do is awesome, and I hope that more people follow in your footsteps and give back to the fans any way that you can. Even a small way is great, and we definitely appreciated talking to you today, and we'd love to do it again sometime.
Thank you so much, and thanks for being patient with me. I know you and I have tried to do this for what seems like forever, so I'm glad that we finally nailed down a time to sit down and chat together. It's been great.